Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
This morning, I have for a title, The Armor of Light. The Armor of Light. So, I was reading the Word of God a few days ago, and I was just reading casually. Sometimes you read the Word of God just for reading's sake, right? You just want to feed your eyes with something good. The Word of God is good, right? Right? So, you want to feed your eyes with something good sometimes. So, I picked up my Bible and I said, let me just flip through the pages of the Bible, and I was reading and I saw Romans chapter, our anchor scripture, Romans 13, 12, 11 to 12, right? I was reading and when I got to that part where it says that we should put on the armor of light, it struck me and I was wondering, armor of light, God is my witness. I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation quite a number of times. I've never seen that word, that phrase or whatever, armor of light. So it got me thinking, armor of light. What's going on here? And then I started making my research, and to the glory of the Lord will have me speak to us in that light about the armor of light. You see what I did there? Yeah. You can only do that if you're a man, you fan. Do you know that while I was preparing, I was finding a way to bring in how I will attack Chelsea fans into this sermon. And in all honesty, there was no bullet point for me to use to attack today. I don't know what's going on. But along the line, you know now, it will just come. So be prepared though. Stray bullet is going to eat you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that as we approach your word this morning, you open our eyes of understanding in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you let every heart be blessed. I ask, oh God, that you let this word be backed up with signs. Let it be backed up with wonders. Think through my mind and speak through my lips in the name of Jesus. Every hearer here today is blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. My goal this morning is to get you to a point where you understand fully. Some of us have a little understanding of it, but I want you to, you need to get to a point where you understand that we have an adversary. That's number one. You need to understand that we have an adversary. You need to understand that while you are in this world, you will go through stuff. You will go through trials. You will go through tribulation. You will go through everything. Name it. You will go through it. So far, you are on this earth. So far, you are still breathing. So far, you are sleeping and you are waking up. You will go through it. It's part of life. It is part of what, it has already been packaged with life. So, there's nothing you can do about it. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Even the person that died for our sins went through stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, there's nobody on the face of the earth that will not go through stuff. No matter who you are, no matter the position you occupy, no matter who your father is, no matter who your mother is, no matter whatever you possess, you are going to go through trials, you are going to go through tribulations, you are going to go through troubles. I know tribulation sounds like, tribulation. I'm not cursing you. I know we like to make positive confession. We like to make positive confession. It is good. It is okay. That is what we should do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Numbers, it says, God was speaking to, was it Joshua or Moses? Numbers 14:28. He says, as soon as I live, thus saith the Lord, whatever I hear you say in my hearing. Yeah, Numbers 14:28, good. He says, whatever I hear you say in my hearing, that will I do unto you. So it is okay to make positive confessions, right? That is what the Bible says. Look at the hymn the choir took this morning. Let the weak say what? Let the poor say what? Do you understand? So it is part of life. You will go through stuff. People will come. People will go. People will desert you. People will forsake you. People will hurt you. You will chop breakfast. It is part of life. It is what it is. Talking about breakfast, I've had my own fair share of it in the past. Some of you just had your own fair share of it recently. It's part of life. It is what it is. Talk to your neighbor and say, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing. And let me put it to you. If you are not going through any trouble, if you are not going through any test now, the reason why you are not going through it now is simply because you just got out of one. The reason why you are not going through it is because you just got out of one. And if you haven't gotten out of one, be rest assured that there is one waiting for you. probably after this service, even probably as service going, I'm not. It is what it is. Say it is. That's what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be faced with trials. You're going to be faced with tribulations. No matter the position you occupy, even if you are the general overseer of a church, even if you organize crusades where thousands, hundreds, millions of people, Reinhard Bonnke, for example, he won thousands of souls, millions of souls. Did he go through trouble while he was here before he passed? Yes, he did. If Jesus went through trouble, who are you not to go through trouble? You will go through it. You will go through trials. You will go through tribulation. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, my peace I live with you. Right? He says, in this world that we are in, you will have trials. You will have tribulation. In fact, I checked about 20 translations of that scripture. About 20 of that scripture, 20 translations. And I was trying to see where the Bible says, in this world you may, in this world you might, in this world maybe, if you are good looking, if you lose. No. Everything says you will. Another one says, you know that shall is different from will. Right? When we say you shall, you know when a prophet is prophesying, whenever they come and say, I want to pro, and people say pro, I want to pro, he said pro, right? And he comes and he said, you shall. There's a way he carries weight, right? There are some other translations that he says, you shall have tribulation. Another one says, it is a must. Do you understand? So what that tells us is that it is part of life. Talk to your neighbor, say trials is part of life. Tribulation is part of life. So one thing is constant in this world that we are in. You will face trials, you will face tribulation. Jesus went through it. David went through it. Paul went through it. Peter went through it. All the people that worked with Jesus went through it. Why didn't you? Jesus is the giver of peace. Jesus calms the storm, right? How come the person that calms the storm still goes through trials, still goes through tribulation? Do you understand? It's really weird, right? But guess what? In that same chapter, John chapter 16, Jesus now went on to say that. He said, but be of good cheer. He says, be of good cheer. Do you know why? He said, but be of good cheer. You will have troubles. You will go through all of these things, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In other words, the day Jesus overcame, for he did it for us. The day Jesus went to the cross, he did it for us. The day Jesus became an overcomer, we also became an overcomer. Talk to your neighbor, say, I am an overcomer. Regardless of the storms, regardless of the winds, whether it is boisterous or it is calm, you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. If you look at what makes the difference between somebody that wins and somebody that doesn't win is how they respond to the trials, how they respond to the troubles, how did Jesus respond to the temptation? He responded by the word. In Matthew, he was led to the wilderness, and when he was leaving, the devil came to him and he said, if you are the, he started giving him all sorts of things. He says, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to turn to bread. How did Jesus handle it? Jesus did not say, Jesus doesn't leave me job. No. He responded by the word. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How you respond to trouble will determine whether you will have victory in life or not. Jesus responded with the written word of the Lord. How do you respond to troubles when they come? How do you respond to tribulation? How do you respond to trials when they come? How do you respond? Like I said, it is part of life. It is part of life. If you are not going through a test right now, the reason is simply because you just got out of one. That's the reality of it. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. The Bible says here in the book of Isaiah 43, it says, when you pass through the fire, you will not get burnt. When you walk through the waters, it will not overwhelm you. This is the promise of the Lord. He didn't say if. He didn't say if you pass through it. He says when. What that tells us is that there will be a certain time, moment in your life when you will pass through fire. When you will pass through fire. When you will go through the waters. But guess what? It's not going to overwhelm you. I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus, just like the children of Israel, you will walk on dry paths in the name of Jesus. The Lord is going to part the sea for you in the name of Jesus. The water will not overwhelm you. The water will not overwhelm you because the Lord Jesus is with you. The Lord Jesus is your anchor. So far, Jesus is in your boat. Your ship cannot capsize. So far, even if it is sleeping, it cannot capsize. It cannot. That's the promise of the Lord. Oh, Apostle Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 8 to 7. He says, we are pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassment and are not perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not in despair. We were pushed, persecuted, and heart-driven, but not deserted, not standing alone. We are struck down, but never struck out or destroyed. In this world, the devil may try to strike you down, but you will not be destroyed. 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 It's not a matter of amen or not. It is what you carry on your inside. That is what will make the difference. What you carry on your inside. That's what will make the difference. Because if you don't carry something heavy, something huge, everybody say something huge, on your inside, the devil will come and he will give you kaffa, and there will be absolutely nothing you can do about it. That's the reality of it. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. So, what you carry matters if you want to win in life. What brings you victory when you go through trials is nothing but how you respond to it. How you handle it determines whether you will come out triumphant or not. Oh, let's look at how David responded to troubles, to trials in Psalm 27. Media, please help us with Psalm 27 this morning. Psalm 27, very quickly. Psalm 27. He says, the Lord is my light and my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Next, very quickly, next. Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rises against me, even then, in this will I be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He says, though enemies encamp around me, the Lord will be my strength. The Lord will be my salvation. How you respond matters a lot. How did Jesus respond to trouble? How did Jesus respond to trials? When the people were saying all sorts of things about him, don't do this, don't do that, this is Sabbath day, keep it holy, this and that. They tried everything. But guess what Jesus said? Jesus said, destroy this temple, but in 3 days, it will rise again. In 3 days, I will raise it up. How do you respond to trouble? Jesus responded by saying, I know the future. I know the future. Whatever you like, do. Try to break me down. Try to kill me, backbite me, disappoint me, embarrass me all you want. So far, I have Jesus. I will rise with him. To win in life, you need an armor. To win in life, you need an armor. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need an armor. You need an armor to be a victor in life. To be a victor in life, you need an armor. You need an armor. David had that armor. David had it. I'm sure you are wondering, David did not put on any armor when he went to fight Goliath. Neither did he put on any armor when he defeated the bear and the lion and all of those things that came to take his fathership. You are wondering, he didn't have it. But there are two types of armor. There is the physical armor and there is the spiritual armor. What we are talking about this morning is the spiritual armor. They both serve the same purpose. What does an armor do? Protects. Armor protects you. It guides you from the fiery darts of your enemies. Right? When you are going to war, you put on the armor. So that when they fire arrows at you, it will not penetrate. So that it will bounce back. I'm sure we all see these war movies where they throw a spear and, you know, it just bounces back and it just pound. That's physical armor. Do you know that you can have a spiritual armor also? There is a spiritual armor as well. Saul didn't understand that there is a spiritual armor. That was why he gave David a physical armor. He said, take. Oh yeah, wear it. Go and use it to fight Goliath. David too. Let me obey the king. He wore it and he couldn't move. He wasn't like this. He said, bros, you know where it goes up? I beg. Come out your physical armor. No worry. I did all right. My stone and my sling sack is enough for me. It's enough for me. You need a spiritual armor. Some of us, we have a physical armor. It's okay. It's good. It's nice. It's nice. You shut the doors of your house so that nobody will penetrate, so that things will not penetrate and all those things. But how do you close the door from demons to come in? Can you close physical door so that demons won't come in? You are deceiving yourself. They will come in. They will even walk in like this. They will even sing obli. They will walk in like this. They will walk in like this. You need a spiritual armor. You need a spiritual armor. You need a spiritual armor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need a spiritual armor. You need a spiritual armor. You can't do life without the armor of the Lord. You can't do life without the armor of God. You can't win. You can't. You can't. You just can't. Do you know why? Do you know why you can't win? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or against principalities and powers, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. Those are the people we are dealing with. And that's why we cannot afford to just go do life the way we want. Do life without putting on our spiritual armor. You need the armor of the Lord. You need the armor of the Lord. And to get this armor, it comes by fire. The armor of the Lord comes by fire. Turn to your neighbor and say, the armor of the Lord comes by fire. This armor of light that we are talking about comes by fire. A Christian that wants to win the battles of life must put on the armor of God. And you can't have access to this armor unless there's the fire of the Lord burning inside of you. There's the fire of the Lord burning inside of you. You can't bypass the fire to get the armor. You just can't. You can't bypass the fire of the Holy Ghost. You can't bypass the fire of the Lord to get this armor. It is the fire that propels you to see the need for the armor of the Lord. It is the fire of the Lord inside you that pushes you, that drives you, that urges you to get the armor, to see the need for the armor. You won't see the need for the armor if there is no fire inside of you. You won't see the need for it. So in photography, there's what we call triangle of exposure. I'm about to give you a free photography class now that you're going to pay for. It is what it is. I mean, let me just give you like that. So in photography, there's what we call triangle of exposure. Everything about photography and cinematography revolves around that triangle. Everything. So the triangle, we have ISO, we have shutter speed, and we have aperture. Those three, all the pictures you take, if those three are not in place, there's no such thing as pictures. That's what it is. That is what that the photography, picture, everything revolves around that triangle. In other words, and there's a way you need to balance everything. They work hand in hand. The ISO works with the aperture. The aperture works with the shutter speed. You cannot say that, I'm not interested in ISO. I want to take my picture without ISO. I want to do only shutter speed. Something will be wrong with the picture. Something will be wrong with the picture won't come out good. And you cannot say that it's only ISO I want. You are shooting yourself in the leg. The pictures won't come out good. The video won't come out good. It's the same thing with this fire. There are three elements that must combine in a precise way for a fire to start and to continue burning. For a fire to start and to continue burning, there are three elements. Without these three elements present, forget about it. You cannot get the fire. You cannot get the fire. You cannot get fire, even to cook. You can't get it without these three elements. Number one is heat, which is ignition, right? Something has to be ignited, right? Number one is heat. Number two is fuel. Number three is oxygen. You need these three to work hand in hand for a fire to start. For a fire to start. By the time you start the fire, if one of these three goes off, the fire will go off. If one of these three goes off, please follow me closely, we are going somewhere. If one of these three, whether it is the heat, the ignition, or the fuel finishes, or the oxygen, forget about it. Your fire will go off. And what you are cooking will burn. Sorry, what you are cooking, you won't be able to eat what you are cooking. Do you know, sometimes when I'm speaking, I just go this way. Sometimes I wonder why. Paul, come. Right. So these three must work hand in hand for a fire to start. God the Father is the ignition. Turn to your neighbor, say, God the Father is the ignition. God the Son is the fuel. God the Holy Spirit is the oxygen. You need God the Father, you need God the Son, you need God the Holy Ghost for the fire to start. This morning, my desire is that a fire will start inside you. And even if you already have the fire, it will keep burning in the name of Jesus. Any kind of what the Holy Spirit does, it does only for those who have been to Calvary. Any what the Holy Spirit does, it does only to those who have been to Calvary. To those who have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus and have been baptized by fire. Until you are baptized by fire, the Holy Spirit cannot work in you. The Holy Spirit cannot work in you. The Holy Spirit cannot move, cannot live in a cold place. In a cold place. Because even our God, in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, for our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. He says, for our God is a consuming fire. In the book of Hebrews, he says, our God is a consuming fire. So for the Holy Spirit to move and do his work inside of you, you need to have some fire. Something has to be ignited. And who can ignite it? God. He's the only one that can ignite that fire. He's the only God that can create that spark. God is the only one that can create that spark. That's why you cannot do life without God. There's no way you can win. You can't do life without God. It's impossible. You want to do life without the person that created you. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 1:5, he says, right from your mother's womb, I formed you. I chose you. Do you understand? And you want to do life without God? All the things that you are chasing after were all created by God. Everything you are chasing after, created by God. In Psalm 24, he says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all who dwell in it. He laid the earth upon the waters and the foundation upon the seas. The earth belongs to the Lord. Everything you are chasing after belongs to God. And you want to do life without God? You will have yourself to blame. So you need God. You need God for the fire to be ignited. You need God for that spark. You need God for that spark. Once there is that spark, the sun comes in. The sun comes in and keeps fueling you. Keeps fueling it. Keeps fueling it. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it sustains that fire for you. It sustains that fire for you. You need God the Father. You need to have the Trinity inside of you. You need to have the Trinity inside of you. I have some initial thoughts on fire. Media, please give us Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Luke 3 and verse 16. It says, John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not fit to unfasten. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, and there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat on each of them. This can only happen by the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit is so contagious that when it starts burning, it spreads. The fire of the Holy Ghost doesn't remain somewhere. It spreads. It spreads. So you can, these are initial thoughts on fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost spreads because it is contagious. The fire of the Holy Ghost cannot be contained. It pushes you to do more for God. This fire, so far it is burning inside of you, it pushes you to do more for God. It pushes you to do more for God. You are praying 10 minutes, it pushes you to do more for God. It pushes you to do 20 minutes. It pushes you to do 50, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you are there. Because there is just this fire burning inside of you. Everybody that wants to win in life must have this fire. You must possess the fire of the Holy Ghost. You must possess the fire of the Holy Ghost. It cannot be contained. It cannot be contained. Jeremiah was hiding. He was running away from God. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. He says that I try to hide. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. He says, then I said, please, I don't want KJV. Please give me NIV. Thank you so much. He said, I try to hide. I try. He says, but if I say, I will not mention his word or speak anymore in his name. His word in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. There is no way you can hold the fire of the Lord in. There is no way. You just can't hold it in. Something is burning inside you. You can't hold it in. You can't. Just like Jeremiah here. He said, if I say I'm not doing your work anymore. I'm not coming to your church anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. There's this fire. There's this thing that happens to my heart. Your word enters my heart. It is like fire shut up in my bones. I cannot hold it. The fire is contagious. You can't hold it. You can't keep it to yourself. You want to keep burning. You want to keep spreading it. That's what we do with the fire. You can't contain the fire. If you are not burning for God, that means there's no even fire in the first place. Or probably it needs to be there's small fire, but ashes don't cover them. You're going to receive help this morning in the name of Jesus. And I believe that as this word is going out, help is already happening. You are already receiving help in the name of Jesus. You are going to leave this service full of fire. You're going to leave this service full of fire. When you are on fire for God, there is no angel in heaven that can stop you. No angel in heaven can stop that fire. So far it is from the Lord. No angel can stop it. No angel can stop the fire of the Lord. No angel. And guess what? If angels can't stop that fire, there's no demon in hell that can stop the fire of the Lord from burning in your heart except you. You are the only one that can stop the fire from burning. You are the only one that can decide. You are the only one that can decide to grow cold. You're the only one that can decide to grow cold. There's nothing that can, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop this fire. They tried to stop Peter. They just couldn't. They tried. In Acts chapter 4, they asked them, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They called them to a corner. They said, in whose name are you doing all of these things? Peter said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, of course. They said, you are doing this in the name of Jesus. Okay. Don't do this anymore. The next time you do this, we're going to get you killed. We're going to get you killed. That's what's going to happen. We will kill you. There's no trial, no nothing. We'll execute you straight. Say, hey. Guess what happened? The Bible said they went to the church. Guess what they prayed for? They prayed for boldness. But before that, see the verse 8. It says, Peter, filled with the Spirit. Even while they were questioning them, Peter was preaching to them. Peter was preaching to them in trial, during trial. Peter was preaching. He was preaching the word of God. Can you imagine? They put a gun in your head that stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And that is when, now that thing we are not like. Where you not like, now you are going to do. He preached the gospel to them. Check it now. Let's go. Let's read it. He says, rulers and elders of the people. Okay, let me just. Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. I saw something. I saw a video online. I sent it to OJ. See, if you don't know God for yourself, if you don't know God for yourself, different people will come with different things. And you will start buying everything. If you don't know God for yourself, preachers, men of God, will preach the Jesus they know to you. And out of your ignorance, you will accept it. Imagine a prophet or a pastor or whatever, he said that whenever I want to cast out demons, whenever I want to perform signs and wonders, I watch pornography. This is not, it's not AI. They didn't make the video. He was saying it himself. OJ, you can make me understand. He said, I watch pornography and I'm praying in tongues. Ashkelebesk. Baba, you are praying in tongues, but you are not praying in the spirit. He said, I watch pornography. I did like this. Yeah. He said, I watch pornography. You know. And I don't need, when I want to preach, it's not this Ghana or Gambia, whatever. When I want to preach, I don't listen to all this, your hallelujah, hallelujah kind of song. I listen to all those bad music. I don't need those hallelujah songs when I want to preach. I need those bad music. It is bad music that is fueling your passion to preach the gospel to the people. Now, if you are not standing firm, these are the kind of preachers that the devil is shooting out to the world. And you will start buying into all of those things if you don't know God for yourself. I just thought I should give you that free of charge. I wanted to read the book of Acts. And I'm going to read it. Acts 4. Where Peter was preaching the gospel. I'm going to just read fast and glance through it. Let me start from where Peter started speaking. Okay, so from verse 8. Okay, from verse 7, he says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we do this day be examined of the good deed done to the crippled man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised. This was where he started preaching. Though. They thought he was telling them what happened, but he was preaching. He was preaching to them. He says, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you all. And then he went on in verse 11. He says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He was telling them, the stone you rejected has now become the head. He was preaching in the middle of trials and tribulation. Let's go. Neither is there salvation. What? They ask you to stop preaching the name of Jesus, and you are telling them neither is there salvation in that name. Neither is there salvation anywhere else other than that name that you ask us to stop preaching about. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Is this not the gospel? Is this not the gospel? They can try to stop your fire. If it is burning, you can't contain it. They will try to stop you, but they will fail. Because you have God the Father inside you, because you have God the Son inside you, and you have the Holy Spirit inside you. They will try to stop you. They tried to stop Peter. They failed. They tried to stop Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Let's open it very quickly. 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 23 to 27. It says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, but put in prison more often. Be whipped times without number and face death again and again. Next. Verse 24. 5 different times for Jewish leaders gave me 30 lashes. 39. Can't imagine. 39 different places. Mind you, the lashes where they use beat people is not Atori. Who knows Atori? People don't know Atori. Atori is one long king that they used to beat us. You guys are so young. You guys are so young. You, come up, grow up. Why are you being you? Let me tell you something. I know I said it before, and I'm saying it again and again and again and again till Jesus comes. I will keep saying it. This church, why this stage was here, like this, I was here. This stage like this was here, I was here. Wasn't it? My mommy was part of the choir that sang, shout hallelujah, ale, ale. How many of you know that church? That song is for Stone Church. Do you know? Some people don't know. It's our song. Our lani. Eddie, you don't know? My brother said no. Mind you know. It's our song. The album is sold out. I see the my God. Sold out. Go and check it out. Sold out. My mom was in the choir. They wore black and white robe. Go and check it. Go and verify. Drummer, my brother. So you people are young, come up. Anyways, so the award got me to that place. I was talking about, so that time my dad, he will go to work and then we'll come back. He will come. Why will you go to work and come back with King? Why will you go to work and come back with King? It's not like I offended you before you left the house. So why did you come with King? You are coming with King with faith in your heart that we have done something wrong. He will come with this long atori. By the time he puts we call it atori, it's one stick like that. By the time he puts it inside his car, right, the thing will be long from, he can't contain the boot because it's too long. I'm telling you, it's too long. If they give you that atori, you will feel it. But guess what? Apostle was saying that this one is not atori. Wait till they take flock people those days. They will give you one like this. The first thing it will do is to tear your skin. They gave him in 5 different places, 39, 39, 39. One day I fought. I used to be a very silly boy back then. I fought. I punched somebody in school. I was in junior school. I punched somebody in school. B. Her name is Bosse. Can you imagine? A lady. There's nothing God cannot do in your life. No. Calm. Wait. I was a very, very small boy. Like, small. Giddy. I think it was years one. That time, nobody oriented all that. You cannot beat a lady. You cannot raise your hand. Do you understand? So don't judge me. Don't judge me. Now, it can never happen. I mean, there are some things that can. Let's not even talk about it. So I punched this lady. B. And guess what I did after punching her? I ran away. Do you know why I ran? I didn't run because I was fearful. I was afraid. I ran because the next thing that will happen is the lady will lock me. And once she locks me like this, beating, I will just beat you they go. So I ran. And then this, so she, So before I used to be a mechanic. I'm serious now. Ask my guys. I'm serious. I used to be a mechanic. Even till now, I can still repair cars. Like, I mean, I can still service a car, change the fuel pump, you know, all of these things. So I used to be a mechanic. So what led me there? It's not like I woke up one day and decided that, bam, now mechanic I won't become. No. I've always wanted to be a footballer. All my life, I only want to be a footballer. In fact, they used to call me nanny. If my mommy buys clothes for me like this, even if it's shirt, even if it's suit, guess what I will write? I will use marker. I will write nanny, number 17, at the back. I'm telling you, God is my witness. If you buy me native, I will customize it with nanny. Nanny must be there. They used to call me nanny back then. I even belong to, I joined football club, all these local leagues that, Nigeria, we, In this day, Nigeria, my football dream, it died. Well, first, before it died, it was first of all shattered into fragments of pieces. They stole my total 90 boots. I didn't buy it with my money. I didn't buy that boot with my money. My brother, he used to play Sunday league, right? He was working Christmas, so all those Igbo boys, they would gather themselves. So every Sunday, he used to use that boot. So me, I'm like, every Sunday, you are using this. Me, I cannot, that time, 7,000 naira boot. Where I want to see money? So he will go and play the football on Sunday. When he comes back, he will just dump the boot somewhere. But be, me during the week, 3 times training. I was at Wembe. I was playing for Wembe. 3 times in a week. Go to field. But he had total 19 here. The day they saw that, I decided I'm not playing football again in my life. Because the beating that I even received from my brother, Olofa. Now, how did you get here? I was talking about 30, like my dad now. So he will come home and all of these things. I think we'll skip that story. I don't lose my line of thought. So I said I was a mechanic now. No, I'm serious. I was. So my dad is a mechanic, right? He sells cars and then he repairs cars as well. But majorly, he repairs cars. So after school like this, once you are done with school, so my school is at this Jembe one, St. Gabriel, the best, St. Gabriel. Yes, now. What's wrong with you guys? Which schools have we played basketball with each other that time? Guess what? Pastor and I went to the same school. Do you know? I'm just giving you guys odd things this morning. Pastor and I went to the same school. So after school like this, to my dad's workshop, I will even wear mechanic clothes. Lie down on that. You probably think like that. Yes. I've gone through stuff. I've seen it. I've been there. I've been there. God do stuff. You know, I've drank Gari before. What's here? I've drank Gari before. I've used granola to drink Gari before. What's there? I've even used kuli kuli to drink Gari before. See, let me tell you. I've even put my granola inside the Gari before. Not kidding. I've been there. See, concussion rice. I've eaten it before. Kini, what's there? Now, Gari. Hey, me, Gari and granite. Me, Gari and granite. I will not use my mouth to touch it. No way. Eh? You say, no way. One day, Pastor Fred and I, I don't use all my time. One day, Pastor Fred and I, we traveled to, this is like 3 months ago, we traveled to Abeokuta for a job. You, let me give you tips. When you go out with Pastor, he will carry you reach there. Hey, we first of all went to this restaurant. Pastor said, so it's all this like, he said, what do you have now? I should buy what I want to buy. I said, you know, when someone wants to buy something for you, you have to use common sense to, you know, man. Even if you can afford it, even if normally you used to like spend like that on yourself, normally. But when somebody says, I'm the one paying for it, you want to use your sense. So I thought, it doesn't make sense. Pastor said, order something. He said, I'll not order. I said, give me meat. So before I start making, say, give me meat, I saw one fish. That fish is as long as this. I saw that fish. The fish saw me. I said, now this fish go slap with this amalao. I said, how much is it? they said, it's a one crazy amount. I said, don't worry. I acted like it's not my thing. Don't worry. So Pastor was making his own. When he saw my friend, he saw me. He said, that fish, don't you like that fish? I said, he said, give him that fish. I was very excited. I got the fish. And then we're Abeokuta now. So Pastor asked me again. So we're on the way, and he asked our Uber to stop. He asked me, he said, do I drink Gari? Eh? Do I drink Gari? I love it. Bah. I said, yes, sir. He said, okay. So we went to this place, they sell Gari. He bought Gari Egba for me. I was so excited. Ask my brother, when I took that Gari home, I had that Gari. Guess what I now did? I now sent, that's Tommy, I sent him to Abeokuta. Like Gary gone. So no, not like I sent him to go and buy Gary. I sent him on the job to Abeokuta. And I told him, when you are coming, buy more Gary because I've tasted that Gary Egba. So the one I passed on was for me, I kept it at home. So when he brought that one, you know, makes sense, you know, slap. The anointing of the Lord, no day that one. He get dead inside. I just gave that one to my brother. I said, oh. I put my own inside Ziploc line. I said, this Gary, nobody must touch it. Now, how did I get there? Let's go back to the word. Hallelujah. I hope you are getting blessed. So I was talking about the fact that they tried to stop Peter. Paul, yeah, come back. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 30 lashes, 39 lashes. Next. 3 times, I was beaten with rod. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. Once, I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. Next. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the desert, in the sea. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. Verse 27. I have worked hard and long, enduring sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. They will try to stop you. See the number of things they did to Peter, to Paul rather. They tried, but the body was still there. The fire keeps the body. The fire keeps the burden. The fire of the Holy Ghost inside you. Nobody can stop it except if you decide that you want to quench that fire. Nobody can stop it. They tried to stop Jesus. I showed us. They tried to stop Peter. They tried to stop Paul. They tried. When you are on fire for God, you are recognized in hell as a terror to their kingdom. You are recognized in hell as a terror to their kingdom. I always pray one prayer. God, I want to be known in hell. I want to be known in hell. I want them to know me in hellfire. That there is a boy, there is a man named Paul. In Acts 19 and verse 1, the seven sons of Sceva, they were trying to drive out demons in the name of Jesus. The Jesus that they did not know. Guess what they said? They said, in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches, out. Can you come? Demon asked, first of all, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Bros, who you? Who you? The core of the matter is, they said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Why did they know Paul? If demons can know Paul, they should know me. Why did they know Paul? Because he was setting the captives free. Because he was setting ablaze people on fire for God. He was reviving the church. He was wreaking havoc in the kingdom of darkness. You should be known in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness should recognize you. That when you are praying, they should know that, hey, this one is already praying again. They should flee at the sound of your tongues. They should flee. They should flee at the sound of your tongues. What does this fire do? Let me cut down on some things. What does this fire do? Right, what does this fire do? It produces and makes us light. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire produces light. This fire, it produces and makes us light. It makes us light. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 to 3, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But upon you, something will happen. But upon you, it says, upon you, the glory of the Lord will be seen. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. That's what the Bible says. The fire of the Holy Ghost makes us light. We are light in this world. We are not darkness. We are light in this world. I have some initial thoughts on light. The fire of God that has made you light is calling you to wake up from your slumber. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 13 from verse 11 to 14, it says, and that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake from your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in trampling and reckless lifestyle, not in strife or envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, full to fulfill the lust thereof. To fulfill the lust thereof. The light that God has made you is not to be intimidated. You are the light of the world. You are not supposed to be intimidated by darkness. You are not. Rather, you are supposed to, first of all, put off the deeds of darkness. The light inside you is for the illumination of the world. Oh, ye light, how long do you want to remain in darkness for? The light that we are talking about here, it shines. It shines bright, and the world sees it. In the book of John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. He was with God in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. Without Him, there was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. The light that shines in darkness is you. You are that light. You are that light. And that is what you ought to do. Shine in darkness. Not to blend with darkness. You have not been called to blend with darkness. Whenever you see darkness, you are supposed to shine. You are not supposed to blend with it. Light don't compromise. Light don't conform. Light shines out of darkness.
Want ye light?
How long do you want to remain in darkness for?
You are light. Light don't hide, it shines. Light isn't intimidated by darkness, but rather it intimidates darkness and puts it to flight. You are supposed to put darkness to flight. Put darkness to flight. There's so much darkness in your community. You just need to show up. You just need to show up as the child of light. Show up as the child of light. As the child of light. To be the light of the world is to be an ambassador of the source of light. To be an ambassador of the source of this light we are talking about. That is what it means to be a light in this, to be the light. You are not a light of the world. You are the light of the world. Talk to your neighbor, say, you are not a light of the world. You are the light of the world. Two different things. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So therefore, you are an ambassador of Jesus. The Bible was speaking in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, for we are therefore Christ ambassadors. That is what we are. That is what you are. You are the ambassador of Jesus in this generation. You are to represent the kingdom of heaven here on earth. You are to represent the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How can you represent the kingdom of heaven when you are mixing with darkness? When you are not standing out? How? Oh, ye light, get up. It's time to shine. It's time to shine. It's time to shine. You are not... God made you the light of this world because you are his delight. God made you the light of this world because you are his delight. You are the Lord's delight. So therefore, you are his light. He has made you that light because he takes so much delight in you. God loves you so much. He thought, what's the best thing I can make this my baby girl? What's the best thing I can make this my boy? Oh, be the light of the world. Drive out darkness. Cast out devils. Drive out impure spirits. That is what you have been made. You have been made the light of this world. You are the light of this world because you are joint heirs with the Son. You are joint heirs with the Son. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, for the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the citizen, that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That is why you are light. You are the light of this world because you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. With Christ Jesus. With Christ Jesus. With Christ Jesus. We can find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. You are the light of this world. The difference between you and the unbeliever out there is the light you carry. It's the light you carry. That's what makes the difference. It's the light you carry. You are not an ordinary child. You became extraordinary the moment you gave your life to Christ. The moment you decided to follow Jesus, you are not ordinary. You became extraordinary. So far the light keeps burning, you remain extraordinary. So far the light keeps burning, you remain extraordinary. So far the light keeps burning, you remain extraordinary. Light attracts. Light draws people in. When people see light, they want to come in. When people see light, they want to come in. Light draws people in. When you shine, you don't need to do too much. People will come to you. Light in my neighborhood is extremely, extremely, extremely terrible. I turn on the gen every now and then. The moment we turn on the gen and people see that, oh, there's light in that house. People from all over the place. When I say all over the place, I actually mean all over the place. On my street, they come with their extension boxes, with their phones, with their power bank and all of that. And they want to connect. They want to connect. Why? Because light attracts. Light attracts. Light attracts. Light attracts. Light attracts. When Jesus, he said to the disciples, the Bible says, they left everything. They left everything. After a great catch, they left the miracles behind. They decided to follow the light. Why? Because light draws in. The Bible says, left everything. Verse 10 to 11, they followed after Jesus. Light don't conform to darkness. The Bible says in the book of Romans, be not conformed to this world. This is a call for you not to conform to this world. The world will present a lot of goodies to you, but do not conform. Why should you not conform? Because you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Light doesn't conform. Light stand out. Stand out in darkness. You need to take a stand. Now is the time for you to wake up. You've been sleeping for so long. It's time for you to wake up. What are you doing down there? Come up in there. Come up. Come up in there. You cannot sleep for too long. And the beautiful thing about God is that sleeping spiritually, sleeping spiritually is the same as sleeping physically. If you sleep physically and you wake up, you can sleep spiritually and still wake up. If you are sleeping spiritually, there is grace for you to wake up. You can wake up. Light doesn't move in the company of darkness. Light doesn't move in the company of darkness. Oh, there's a story in the book of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17. When they asked Daniel that he was supposed to give the interpretation to the dream. He said, the Bible says that. And Daniel, let's go to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, and Daniel went to his own company. His own company. And what happened? They prayed. And we know the rest of the story. Light moves with like-minded believers. You don't roll with darkness. You don't play with darkness. You don't. How do you keep the fire of the Lord burning and the fire on? How do you keep the fire burning and the light on? Put on the armor of light. Just like we read in that scripture in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. It says, put on the armor of light. You cast off the works of darkness by putting on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. So that you can defend yourself against the tricks of the devil. We are not wrestling against humans. We are fighting against the forces and the authorities and against all rulers of the darkness and the powers of the spiritual world. So put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. Put on the whole armor of God. The Bible encourages us to do that in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 11 to 18. What the devil seeks after is to kill your fire, and you must not give in. Is to kill your fire. The devil wants to fire fiery darts. He wants to fire fiery darts. But when you have your armor that protects you, when your armor of light on, you will not be able to penetrate. The armor will protect you. The armor will guide you. You must make the armor of light your regular clothing. You must make the armor of light your regular clothing. What is this armor of light I've been talking about? What is this armor of light? This armor of light is righteousness. I present to you the armor of light. This armor of light is righteousness. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, from verse 15 to 17. It says, those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop their heads against plots on the earth, height, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied and their water will not fail them. That's the reward for walking righteously. Let living a righteous life become your new normal. Let it become your normal. There's a call to a righteous living. There's a call to seeking God's righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, seek ye first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. I know that you want every other thing added unto you, but don't let every other thing take the place of this righteous living we are talking about. Don't do anything to get wealth. Don't do anything to get wealth. Anything your hands, your heart tries to do, you do it. Even if it's to change figures, you do it. Even if it's to do Yahoo, you do it. Even if it's to steal, you do it. Even if it's to lie, you do it. Even if it's to cheat, to get the gains of this world. The gains of this world will perish. The Bible says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. Oh, you cannot long after, you cannot pursue after righteousness, and every other thing will not be added unto you. Oh, we are not saying don't do these things. No. We are not saying don't seek wealth. We are not saying don't seek wealth. We are not saying don't work. Don't try to make money. But don't put it ahead of seeking the kingdom of his, and his righteousness. Because the Bible expressly says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Please, for you to be a victor in life, you need to live a righteous life. You need to live a righteous life. For you to win in life, you need to live a righteous life. Let righteousness be your new normal. Strive to do what is right in the sight of God all the days of your life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, the heart of the kings are in the hands of the Lord, like the rivers of water eternally whithersoever I will. Verse 2, there is verse 3. It says, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. In other words, give all the money you have. Whatever it is, that do everything. Do. Sacrifice your life. Do everything. It is. Righteousness is more important to God than that sacrifice that you are making. Righteousness is more important than that sacrifice. To do what is right is acceptable to the Lord. Number one, I said, righteousness is this armor of light. Number two, holiness is this armor of light. Is this armor of light. First Peter, I'm just going to glance through the scripture now. Please write it down. My time is already up. But please give me a few minutes. Don't worry, I won't use 2 hours like my brother. I promise you, I'm wrapping up like any moment from now. First Peter, you will use my time to listen to jokes now. I want to take my time back. Were you not laughing? If you're not enjoying it, why are you laughing? Please, you are already still taking out my time. Holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, but just as he called you holy, he who called you is holy. Be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Another scripture is Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. You can write these scriptures down. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. A call to holiness. Why should you be holy? It is very simple. The reason why you should be holy is because God is holy. No addition, no subtraction. If you look at all the scriptures in the world, that is what the Bible says. Be ye holy, as your heavenly Father is holy. Be holy, because God is holy. You don't need to ask no questions, nothing. Be ye holy, as your heavenly Father is holy. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and be holy. Without holiness, no one can see God. No one can see God without holiness. Don't be not deceived. God is not much. You cannot see God without holiness. The Bible says, who shall ascend unto the mountain of the Lord? Psalm 24. Who shall stand in his holy presence? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Do you have clean hands? Do you have pure hearts? Then you can stand in his holy presence. If you don't have it, forget about standing in his presence. You can't see God. You can't see God. You can't see God. This fire, number one, I said this fire produces light. Number two, it purifies. This fire purifies. Oh, there was a man named Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He says that, so what happened was that? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Let's go to, let's go to verse 6. Let's start from verse 6. Okay, verse 6. Okay, yeah. He says, so he was saying, I'm a man of unclean lips. This and that, I'm imperfect. I'm not worthy. I'm not... blah, 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 blah. He says, then flew one of the cherubims unto me, saying, having a life coal in his hand. And he had taken it with tongues off the altar. Verse 7. I don't like KJV. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Next. Then also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I answered, here I am, send me. Because he had been purified by the fire. The life code touched his mouth. The life code brought about purification. Then after that happened, he was able to hear the voice of the Lord. He was able to hear the voice of the Lord. The same person that was complaining earlier, he heard the voice of the Lord. God was asking, who can I send on this mission? And he made himself available. When you are purified, you make yourself available for God to use you. You make yourself available for God to use you. Gold in its raw form doesn't look interesting. Gold in its raw form looks tattered. You don't even like it. But when it's purified, when it goes through fire, it comes out. It comes out beautiful. We all want it. We all run to it. We all run to it. Until you pass through fire, your life will keep looking like that raw gold. Your life will keep looking like that. Your life will be that of God until you pass through fire, until you pass through purification. A believer cannot afford to not be on fire for the Lord. Diamond is a mere coal. Until it passes through fire, nothing happens to it. Until it passes through heat and pressure. If you want your life to amount to something great, passing through heat and pressure is part of it to make you that diamond that people long for. That people seek to see. You want to be pure? You have to pass through fire. There cannot be purification without fire. There cannot be purification without fire. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2 says, on the day the Lord comes, it will be like a furnace that purifies silver, or like soap, strong soap. No one will be able to stand him. The Bible gave us a promise in the book of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. He says, then I will purify them and put them to a test. Just as gold and silver is purified and tested, they will pray in my name and I will answer them. I will say, you are my people, and they will reply, you, Lord, are my God. This is what happens when you pass through the fire of the Holy Ghost. When you allow the Holy Ghost to burn everything that doesn't look like him in your life. As I conclude this morning, choose to burn for Jesus without looking back. Choose to burn for Jesus without looking back. Choose to burn for Jesus without looking back. Are you tired of your cold altar that has now become a feasting ground for cockroaches and other creatures? Are you tired of spiritual coldness? It's time, beloved. It's time to wake up from that slumber and let the light of Jesus shine on you. It's time to rise up from that deep sleep and let the fire on your altar be rekindled again. You can play church all you want, but you know that the fire on your altar has grown cold. You know. I may not know, but you know. The person sitting beside you may not know, but you know. Your HR may not know, but you know. Your neighborhood may not, your neighbors may not know. Your parents may not know, but you know that there is no fire on your altar. And you know that it has to be rekindled again. There is grace for you. It can be rekindled again. It can be rekindled again. It can be rekindled again. God has it in abundance. As a matter of fact, He Himself is that fire that you need. The Bible says He is the consuming fire. Once you start burning for God, there's nothing you cannot become. A life that burns for God is bound to experience victory in every area of life. Oh, if you truly encounter Jesus, if you truly encounter Jesus, you will stay with Him. You don't want to go back. You never want to go back. You never want to go back. Oh, you never want to go back. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, and those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He justified. And those He justified, He glorified. Why did He do all of these things? You think He did all of these things for fun? No. He didn't save you to be lukewarm. You are not saved to be lukewarm. You are not saved to be called today or tomorrow. You are saved to keep burning for Jesus. You are not called to be passive. You are called to be an active Christian. You are to be active. Spiritually active. You have to be active as a Christian. You were made to burn. Not only to burn, but to keep burning. To keep burning. Many of us here this morning, you need oil on your altar. Your lamp needs to keep burning, but it lacks oil. You need the fire of the Holy Ghost. You need your fire rekindled again. You need your fire rekindled again. And it's so simple. You just need to talk to God about it. You just need to get to that state where you realize that, okay, truly, truly, I need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Even if your fire has gone out, there is still hope. There is still hope for a tree. If it be cut down at the scent of water, it shall spring up again. There is still hope for you. Oh, maybe you used to be on fire for God. Every Bible study, you are there. Every Sunday service, you are there. You are the first to get to church. But now it has become a chore. The fire can be rekindled again. You can go back to your first love. God wants you to come back. God wants you to come back. God wants you back. I want somebody to keep up, please. God wants you to come back. God wants you to come back. Let me wrap up with this story. In the early in the 1900s, there was a revival. They call it Welsh Revival. It broke out in Wales. This revival broke out in Wales. But what happened? In Wales, the revival couldn't wait, couldn't remain in Wales. That's what I was talking about, the fact that the fire spreads. You cannot contain the fire. So the revival happened in Wales. And then the revival traveled different parts of the world. And then they got to India, Northeast India, to be precise. And this revival was about to start. So there was this missionary. He went to India. He went there and he preached to this family. In that place, of course, you know Indians, now they are Buddhists. They don't believe in our God, right? They believe in a God that sleeps, that slumbers, right? That falls down, right? So this missionary started, you know, he was able to convert one family. By the time he converted this family, the chief called, this was in 1900. The chief, this is a true life story. This is not fiction. He called the villagers. He called all of them out. You know how they execute people, and they were going to execute this family. They were going to execute this family. Guys, you are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You have been made to shine. You cannot afford to joke with darkness anymore. You have been made to shine. So they called them out and they're going to have them executed. And they asked this man, they said, renounce this faith. This Jesus that you have chosen, renounce it. Or else we will kill all your family members. This man said, I can't. He said, I can't. I just can't. They brought out one of his boys, one of his children, not even a boy, a girl. They brought out one of them. They killed the boy. They killed the child. The chief asked him again, denounce this faith or we'll kill the second child. This man said, I can't. I can't. I can't. You can't experience Jesus and go back. If you truly encounter Jesus, you can't go back. You can't go back. Oh, there's just this fire burning inside of you that you can't contain. They brought out the second boy. They killed him. They killed him. After this service, you can go and check this story. It's real. They killed this second boy. The third time the chief asked, he said, are you going to renounce this faith or not? This man said, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. Those were his words. The chief brought out his wife, killed his wife right there in front of him. After the wife was killed, the chief asked again, are you going to renounce this Jesus or not? This man said, I can't. I can't renounce this Jesus. No turning back. He said, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And that was where we got the hymn, I've decided to follow Jesus. That was where it was from this story they got that hymn. He said, I've decided to follow Jesus. There's nothing I can do about it. It is beyond me. It is beyond me now. I can't. The world behind me, the cross before me, the cross before me. They killed him. They killed this man. It is what it is. To live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is Christ and to die is gain. As a result of this man's stance, the Bible broke out in that village. Guess what the chief said? He said, what? Because of this, I too belong to Jesus. I too belong to Jesus. The way we live our lives, we determine whether people will come to Jesus or not. The light you shine will determine whether people will run to the cross or not. The reason why your classmate is not saved, why your neighbor is not saved, is because you are not standing out. It's because you are not burning for Jesus. If you burn long enough, the fire is contagious. The fire is contagious. You can't keep it to yourself. The fire is contagious. It's contagious. It's contagious. The fire from that man that decided to follow Jesus spread like wildfire. The chief that orchestrated the execution gave his life to Jesus. The entire neighborhood, the entire village decided to follow Jesus. That is what happens when we take a stand and we choose to live for Jesus. And we choose to live a life of righteousness. And we choose to live a life of holiness. We become a light in this world that the devil cannot put off. Oh, Jesus wants you to represent him. Everywhere you go, he wants you to represent him. But for you to represent him, you need to carry the fire. Let's rise up on our feet. Rise up on your feet. You need to carry this fire. And the Lia Bredebos Calambe. Oh, Jesus. Hey, La Brenda Lebosa. You are the light of the world, guys. And you cannot afford to be unrighteous. When God made you light, he made you light for a reason. He made you light for a reason. He made you light for a reason. Can you begin to talk to God this morning and say, God, try me by fire. Try me by fire. Try me by fire. Try me by fire. You are fire, child of God. You are fire, you are light. You are fire and you are light. Oh, you are contagious, you are contagious. You have just been hiding for too long. Can you speak in the Holy Ghost? Can you commit your heart, your life to Jesus once again? If you want to be a light in this world, you have not given your heart to Jesus. You cannot do life and be victorious. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, step out very quickly. Let me pray with you. Let me lead you in the sinner's prayer. You are living in sin and you want to be a light. Is it possible? Church, please raise your voice. Raise your voice. and just talk to God. Is anybody here this morning? You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you need that fire rekindled again. Can you come forward very quickly? Maybe you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you went back into the world. You went back into the world. You can come forward, please. Come forward, let me pray for you. There is grace 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 for you. Oh, there is grace for you. I am fire. I am light. I am glory. Oh, the supernatural. I am fire. I am light. I am glory. Oh, the supernatural. I am fire.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.